5:31, and we're calling to order the special work session of the Fairbanks City Council. We have the City Permanent Fund Investment Policy as the lone item on our agenda today. And Ms. Bell, I will hand the floor to you to sign off.
Okay, thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council members. I'd like to begin by recognizing our Permanent Fund Review Board members. We have Chair Patty Mongold. We have Vice Chair and former Council Member Bernard Gatewood. We have Board Member Dave Owen. And we have Council Member Valerie Therian on the board. We do have a vacancy, and after the article was posted, there were a couple of interests on the board. So you will see probably a recommendation from the mayor on that vacant position. In addition to the code, I have provided an asset allocation and overview of the fund as of December 31st, 2025. These reports are prepared quarterly by our investment management firm, Alaska Permanent Capital Management, or we go by the acronym APCM. I would like for you to note on the right-hand side of the overview page, which is this page here, over in the right side, upper right corner, the purpose and goals. And this is straight from the code to section 2-260A, which states that the principal goal shall be to preserve principal and maintain purchasing power. Now, to achieve this goal, the portfolio is structured to provide a required return rate of 7% to account for inflation at 2.5% and the annual distribution of 4.5%. Now, annually, APCM and the board conduct a strategic review of the portfolio to determine if changes are needed for council consideration. Last year, we revisited adding private equity to the portfolio, and the board unanimously decided not to add this type of asset class due to the timing of the earnings report, which would cause delays in our audit. And delays in the audit impacts our state funding, not only our community assistance program, but it would also impact the SIMPT funding, which is the Supplemental Emergency Management Transportation, because the audit is due with these applications, which are May 31st, and some of the timing of the earnings was over 4 months. So the board also discussed the impacts of adding more equity and that stocks to the portfolio, which requires more risk. So the board is seeking direction from the council, whether the council is comfortable with the current returns of the portfolio, or do you want the board to increase returns by adding more risk, which may have years of lower than targeted returns? And that is the question before the council this evening.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Can you read that last sentence again?
Sure. It's whether or not the council is comfortable with the current returns of the portfolio, or whether you are ready to increase returns by adding more risk, which may have years of lower returns. So as you add more risk, there are times when you may have lower returns, times when it's high. And the reason for that question is because in 2008, the portfolio dropped below the corpus, which is our initial investment amounts, and there were concerns from the council. So we do have some board members that were present during that time. So when we discuss adding more risk into the portfolio, we have that discussion. There are some that feels that maybe the council is comfortable with the level of investment. And then there are others who feel that we have a portfolio at a level where we can invest more in equities in particular.
I have one more. In our finance committee, we took a measure and moved some part I thought was permanent fund earnings and put it into a separate account or a parallel account that was a little more aggressive. Is that, can you remind me of what, I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. That is the regular account for operating account.
Okay. So that was not permanent fund.
That was the operating account.
But we saw some success in that, did we not?
Yes, we did.
So is that anything that could be introduced into this, something like that, or is that a completely different animal?
It's a different vehicle.
Okay.
This is a different type of investment strategy. The permanent fund is more long-term in range. Operating accounts are more short-term because of the need of cash, and it varies depending on what projects we have going on within the city.
Councilmember Therrien.
I think this is my eighth year on the committee now, and one of the things that you need to look at when you look at this blue page, and it says annualized account return, that doesn't include the drop in the value that happened in 2008. And so the benchmark returns exception takes into consideration that drop. And I think it was very significant. And then we had ups and downs, and they were kind of low for a while. I remember that while we were on the, while I was on the committee. So if you look at the alternatives, that's something that I think happened prior when I was on the committee before, and we've increased those alternatives to try to get more money for the fund. And maybe, Margarita, you could just explain what those alternatives were. I don't have my book with me, so. But I think that that's really helped.
Yes, your alternatives are more in what we called REITs, or like real estate infrastructure. It's outside of your norm of your stocks and bonds. That tends to be the one that we focus on the most, but this one just adds a little bit of flexibility into the portfolio to keep it somewhat stable at a stable level during years of when the stocks may be down or when the bonds, the interest rates are not at the best and the bonds are struggling. So that's what the alternatives do.
Councilman Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. I see we have these two board members on. I don't know if I can read that right. I think David Olin and Patty Mongold is on there. So mainly a question for the two of you. You know, over the years, we've thought about our approach at having, you know, targets and possibly having the fund manager hiding behind those target rates and being more aggressive at times. But there's been kind of pushback on that, and they like to have those ranges and those targets to, I think, pick a more conservative approach. I guess I would like your opinions on both of you. If we look at those targets and somewhat liberalize them to a degree, to if we take on private equity, how would that be, and what would the target range be? What would the maximum allowable be? And three, I'm not sure if Alaska, that's not capital management anymore, they changed their name, but I'm not sure if they ever individually pick a stock or if they just buy composites, like a bundled approach, buying mutuals, that sort of a thing. Are you aware of they ever pick an individual stock if they think that it's a good buy? or do they avoid doing that? So anyway, question for the both of you.
So this is Patty, and I think what we look at is trying to increase the return, but we try to just rely upon APCM to come to us with certain recommendations. The private equities are problematic in that, but we considered them. We did all of the research that needed to be done. APCM did a lot of research. Margarita did a lot of research, and we considered them to see if that would bring up the total return of the fund. The alternatives, as Margarita and Ms. Therrien were talking about, they have added some real value to the fund and have allowed us to have higher earnings because, as it was explained to us, when the regular investments aren't doing as well, then the alternatives step in and help you out and bring you a better return. They work opposite of a lot of the other investments. We have a pretty diverse portfolio, and that's what APCM strives for, is that diversity. And I think that works well. Dave Owen and I did have a conversation, and we're going to have some at the next meeting of the committee in April. We'll discuss how to increase the return by perhaps putting a little bit less in our bonds and putting that into some higher earning assets and see how that does that. But we can operate within the range that the city council has designated for us. I would like to see how that does for improves the return over the next couple of quarters to see if that helps at all, if that brings about a real change. And then we can continue to look at other structures of investment that are available that we might be able to utilize. So that's kind of my perspective on it.
Thank you.
Okay, can I speak? This is David.
Yes, please.
Okay, first, I didn't get to hear all of Margarita's presentation, but to answer your question about private equity, first, we need to understand the difference between public equity stocks and private equity. The city code equities, S&P index, and international stocks mentioned in the city code in section 260 sub B 6, 7, 8, 9, but they don't mention private equity. And I have not been an advocate for private equity. And I want to clarify that publicly traded equities are bought and sold on a public stock exchange, while private equities refer to shares not listed in public markets and are not required to have quarterly reporting and annual audits by the SEC. Now then, the city, so I'm not in favor of private equity law. The city code requires inflation proofing, and that's in section 260. I believe the sheet's there, the first page of the sheet you have. As such, APCM's report, it states the same thing in section 260. And the fund has been losing money every year to inflation. We needed our 4.5% draw plus 2.5% inflation. That 2.5% is the average for the last 30 years. And so this is all averages we're talking about. Therefore, we needed a 7% to protect the future value of our fund. I challenge the idea that the current perceived benchmark of 6%, and it should be at least 8% to have the fund grow and provide better funding for our city in the future. I don't believe the parameters of fixed and risk assets need to be changed, but we need to know if the city council desires a higher returns and has the patience that is necessary for long-term investor. We should have the long-term focus and filter out the noise and stock market corrections. You know, stock market corrections and volatility are included in that 14% S&P return on the APCM chart that they provided in our last meeting. And still, with all those corrections, stocks have made double what we're doing. I'm recommending the target of only 2% above our current target. And for those of us concerned about volatility, as mentioned earlier, we recently had a loss of $20 million for calendar year 2022. And the city had a small drop in the annual draw of $1,183. That's from Margarita's schedule of transactions, which was in a previous meeting. Draw for 2022 was $6,172,333. For the next year, it was 2023, it was $6,171,150, a difference of $1,183. So that's due to our averaging provision. Now, 22 was the greatest single year dollar loss this fund has ever had. It was 78,000 more than the 2008 loss. I'll repeat that. The city draw fell only $1,183. APCM did not sell out, and we are better off for it today. If there is a concern about funding running out of money, it will be by not keeping up with inflation. Therefore, we will be depleting over time due to the investment, the conservative investment strategy. That is just too conservative. That's. I think I answered Jerry's questions. Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth, do you have any other questions?
I appreciate the comments from both of you. It's good to have people with different points of view on the body and to listen to different ideas. 2008 was a bizarre year in that something called mortgage-backed securities took the world to its financial knees. I never even heard of those prior to that. And who would have thought that that one single item could do that much damage. And what scares me about it is the national debt. Sooner or later, what happens to the Treasury? Nobody comes to the Treasury window and buys a Treasury note. And says, well, America, you're just like Argentina used to be. That concerns me that we'll wake up someday and we'll see something very similar to 2008, but much, much greater. I guess my opinion is I think we should put our toe into something a little more aggressive, but how much, I don't know. And I would leave that up to the Permanent Fund Board to decide. This fund was never designed to keep up with inflation. When we created it, it was so conservative because we had to have $3.6 million a year. That's what we were getting from MUS, you know, for a payment in lieu of taxes. And so we were very conservative with that because we had to have that money, else we were going to be laying off people. And as years went by and the fund grew, so did that $3.6 million. But it was never designed to be inflation-proof. I know a lot of people say you make a mistake by not doing that, but it was a conservative approach to protect what the city needed annually with their budget. But I think we're getting to that point in time where we might be able to loosen up a little bit. But I guess all of my recommendation to the board is take a look at some different ideas and options. One last suggestion. I think, and I could be wrong on this, the University of Alaska gives the business department some money to invest. And the kids there have done very well. And I think they're picking stocks individually. But I sometimes wonder if we should take, in fact, I pitched it about 20 years ago, why don't we do the same thing with the same group and like $1 million or something like that and see what they can do just for fun. And I was roundly criticized for that suggestion. So I just like thinking outside the box. I'll leave it at that. Thank you, folks, and thank you for both attending today.
Councilwoman Sprinkle.
Patty and Dave, thanks for checking in. I guess what my question is, in as far as Dave, are you the only one who's pushing for the change in the percentage rate, or are there a group of you talking about that?
Well, Patty entertains it. The others don't entertain it even, basically. I'm encouraging you to say, if just the S&P chart, just look at that. And it's 14, percent. I'm not asking we go clear to 14, but if you're willing to look at the long term and just get 8% of that, look how much better off we would be. That's my position, and that's all I can say right now.
I'm just going to say, Dave, I can hear your frustration, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
May I add something to that, if you wouldn't mind? Dave does, I think it's a valuable thing that what Dave provides to the committee, in that he is often bringing up ideas and pushing the envelope, which is good. We have to have somebody on the committee that does that, and I truly do appreciate him being that person. I know it's frustrating for him because it doesn't go anywhere, but I think that we should be able to find a common ground and do something that would still meet City Council's approval, meet the needs that the city has, and perhaps improve the return. Maybe Dave's frustration level, I'm quite hopeful, will go down, because it's not a fun position to be in, I know. I think the people on the committee are very committed to doing the best job that we can, all of us, for the city of Fairbanks. So I think we can take a good path forward and get some good work done.
Can I make one more comment? Jerry mentioned that the fund was never meant to keep up with inflation, but if you read the purpose and goals that they put, which they cite to the bar 2-26 on the front page there, it says the principal goal is to preserve principal and maintain purchasing power. And if you aren't maintaining purchasing power, you're losing.
Dave, where is that again? Can you list that spot?
The first page, there's two pages you received today. The first one is staying focused on our goals.
Oh.
The top right corner of that, it has purpose and goals. And they state right out of our code section 260A. The bolded line there says, principal goal shall be to preserve principal and maintain purchasing power. And if you aren't keeping up with inflation, you're losing your purchasing power.
Yeah, Dave, this is Jerry again. That changed from our original creation of this thing. That changed. Back then, we were a bunch of nervous Nellies, and we had to protect that at all costs. And as the years went by, it's greatly loosened up, and you see the brackets you see today, but it's morphed over the years.
Okay, I have Councilman Ringstad, and followed by Ms. Derry.
So, you know, when our APCM folks were here a couple weeks ago, one of the things I heard them say very concisely is, we have hit the targets the council gets set for us. And to me, that means they did what we asked them to do. I don't have a problem with that. Apparently they did. But they were not expected to, and they didn't try to do any more than that, because that's all we wanted. So I went home thinking, okay, then it's about us. It's time for us to make a decision what we're asking them to do for us, right? You know, and, I mean, I've watched the state's permanent fund kind of since the beginning, and like I think most other permanent funds, they started very conservative. You have to protect your principal. You can't just go out and roll the dice, you know, on a red-black deal and be done. They have loosened theirs up over time. I think if you look back pretty much for the, whatever it is now, 40-plus years, they're averaging a little over 8%.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're a big enough deal they can afford to get into some stuff. We can't. There was a period of years, I mean, they got into individual stocks. And there was a period of years, I don't know if it still is, I haven't paid attention the last couple of years, that their largest single stock investment was Exxon stock, because it is so stable. I mean, they they're big enough, they're diversified enough that they always get their return. Enough so that, I mean, the state of Alaska had hundreds of millions of dollars in there, you know? I don't have a problem with getting the experts to go in and find some of those stocks and saying, we can, if we want to go from our 7% or 7.5% to get 8.5 or 9, well, here'd be a way to do it. I don't like the idea of saying, okay, let's buy into strip malls that, you know, 40 years from now give us a return. That's not what I, in my mind, where I want to go. But I think that we're at a point, it has been continually growing. We've got a pretty solid base. We've probably, over the last 20 years, learned something about managing these things. And I think that maybe we ought to set a higher target. I mean, like Dave said, I'm not looking for 14, but I'd like 8.5, maybe a little more. The next to 1%, and we're sitting around here nickel-diming ourselves and saying, where are we going to come up with $500,000 of a new revenue, right? Well, it could be sitting right here, right? And the whole theory, you know, this our state's money's the same way as ours. You spread them over a five-year average, so you don't have the big swings in our draws. And I don't know that a little bit isn't going to make or break 1 year, but over time, if it's going to bring us, you know, an extra $500,000 to $1 million a year consistently over the years on an average, that's a big deal for us. So I think we ought to take a look at it. I don't know if we need to go in and say, well, I want to change this or that or the other, or ask our experts here and say, what changes should we make to allow you to bring us an extra 0.5% to 2%, something like that, you know, and just lay it out. They're the experts in this, and they can come back and say, here's what it would take to do that.
So, Woman Therian.
Dave, I'm looking at our list of risk assets with a strategic weight of 58%. Is there any one of these six categories that you would want to increase our investments in? Or are you saying maybe take some money out of risk control and put it more into risk assets? So I'm just wondering what you're thinking.
As I stated, I'm not for changing any of the parameters we have now. Our fund managers have had the ability to move assets more within those parameters depending on the outlook. And like I said in my previous meeting, when they saw that interest rates are going down, well, you knew bonds weren't going to perform, so why not put more in equities? You knew you could make more that way. And they declined to do that because they said the city council didn't want to take the risk. Well, that's what I'm asking today is let them do that. Encourage them to make that move to get a better return instead of just settling in at what our current parameter of 6% happens to be.
But Dave, you're not answering my question. What would you want APCM to change in our asset classes?
I'm not asking to have the asset classes changed.
Okay.
They have the parameters to go higher and lower depending on the situation. And we should encourage them to just, instead of staying at, I'd have to go back to your chart of parameters here. I'll get to it in a minute. But instead of, what's coming up here? Oh, gosh. Instead of staying at the,
what Dave was telling me, Ms. Therian, was when the current allocation of U.S. fixed income, for example, is 13.7% on page 9 of their report. I'm not sure what everybody else has access to. And he was suggesting to me that shouldn't be 13.7% in the fixed income. And Dave, please correct me if I'm misphrasing what you told me. He thinks that should be in more stock and other items that have a better return. That hopefully he's got his report up now and he can confirm
yes.
that.
Thank you, Patty. Yeah. That's right. I'm thinking that, as I stated, bonds that might make us 4 to 6% are not going to keep up our need. They won't even provide us inflation for our 4.5%. We need something else to do that. And that's what I'm saying is let's reduce let's go underweight on our allowable amount of risk control and more for risk assets because they show that they're going to do better. So right now, large cap there is 25%. Well, it's not under or overweight. It's just even. I'm saying if the stock market can do better, well, why not go a little bit higher? Don't need to change the parameters. See what I'm saying?
If I could follow up. So if we were to increase maybe to 35% large cap equity, we'd have to drop something else in that risk assets list.
No, I'm saying drop the risk control list. Just take some out of bonds and put them in stocks is what I'm asking for.
So then the strategic weight of risk control should be reduced.
Yeah, Valerie, I don't believe that it has to be changed because our range on, so for the U.S. large cap equity, our range today is 15 to 35% and we're sitting at 25.
Right.
And what Dave is saying, increase that to 30 or 35, well within the ranges. We wouldn't have to change anything. We would reduce the U.S. fixed income, move it into U.S. large cap equity, for example. So we become overweight on U.S. large cap equity because typically our strategic weight is 25, right? So if we put 35 in there, then our overweight then becomes 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what Dave is proposing is, especially now in a falling rate environment, when you know that your fixed income is going to get hammered a little bit more probably this in 2026, move those, but not change the ranges. He's not suggesting that we change the ranges. He wants to stay within the parameters that the city council has set for us.
Councilmember Sprinkle. Hey.
Okay, so this is maybe the dumb question I always like to ask them, but if we change this kind of philosophy, we don't see a difference in the cost to us through the financial managers. They make money on the percentages they make, correct? Or is redirecting them going to cost us any more in doing what we do? So I don't see any loss in something like this, I guess, if that doesn't cost
I believe they have a fixed fee right now. It's not a percentage of anything. It's a fixed fee.
Okay, yeah. Great. That's even better. Okay, thank you.
It was negotiated at the last contract renewal, and they reduced it considerably at that last contract renewal. But Margarita would have the details probably.
My understanding today, Ms. Bell, is the permanent fund board is looking for direction from the council on whether or not we should increase our risk.
Yes, mm-hmm. That
and
is correct.
Is that enough of a direction to say yes or no, or do you need something more specific than that?
I believe that we're hearing from the council that you're willing to accept more risk and that you understand that there may be times when it's down, when it may go up, but in the long run, we think that we're going to meet a higher return for the portfolio. And I'll also defer to the board members that are online. That was what they were seeking, because when we start talking about adding more risk to the portfolio, the conversation becomes, what does the council want? And will the council be comfortable with more risk in the portfolio and stuff? Because it does require the council to be comfortable if we have years of downward earnings. And I'll defer to the chair, Mungold, for further information if they're comfortable with this.
Thank you. I think it's clear that what we need to do is we'll take the StrengthStats comments and all of your comments into consideration, and we'll try to see if we can push them, or we will ask them to push it up, and with the target of increasing it over the next year or so up to at least 100 basis points higher than it is today. If not, if we get to 200 basis points, that's better. Staying within the ranges that are provided to us, but reducing that, basically the cash accounts, you know, the fixed income, and moving that into something that's more aggressive, and we can see it play out. That's what I'm taking from the council's direction, and I'm happy to make sure that we get that message across to APCM that we need to get more aggressive on the investments.
Councilmember Ringston.
Yeah, I guess this is for Patty and Dave. In my mind, I would like to see them have the flexibility. I mean, I don't see it as just, okay, we're going to make this change, see you next year. But they be looking for opportunities ongoing basis, and you know, as if interest rates are going up or down or whatever, they can adjust and know that we're interested in them having the flexibility to try and make those changes when the opportunities arise.
Councilmember Sprinkle.
Is there some fashion of a memo or some agreement that we can all get from either the board or the chair or somebody that just says, here's what we heard, so that we can all look at it and say, yeah, I think we've all agreed to what we're seeing on paper. Is that something we can have before it just launch into something, just to make sure that we're all on the same page? Is that?
You're asked, Ms. Sprinkle, you're asking if the board will do that for you and provide that back to the council for your.
Yeah, let's just make sure we're all hearing the same thing. That would be really great, Patty. Thanks.
So I believe that between Dave and I and Margarita, we can certainly recap what we heard and provide that back to you if that would be helpful.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Ringston?
I'm not sure procedurally what action we need to take or not, or is the discussion good enough that we need to? We're not changing any of the code. We're not really changing the parameters. I don't know that we need to actually vote on it.
It's just a sense of the body, right? And the minutes should reflect that as well, of the meeting. Mr. Cleaworth?
Thank you, Mayor. To either Dave or Patty, do either of you know if the Arctic Slope Permanent Fund, which is much greater than ours, is that handled by APCM or some other entity?
Margarita, do you remember what we found that out? We did discuss that at one of our meetings.
I believe it is APCM.
If it is APCM, is that public information on what their rate of return was?
I think I can review their financials to get a feel for their returns.
And it would be interesting to ask APCM how different their parameters are, or if they're basically the same. I'm just curious at what their rate of return has been. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ms. Sarian?
I think Jerry brings up a good point. Could you maybe get us a comparison of our parameters, strategic weight versus theirs? If they do that, I'm not sure whether they do that or not.
If I recall, they do have private equity in their portfolio, and that would be very different than what we have. And as a board, as the permanent fund board decided, that is not a direction that they would like to go.
Yeah. I guess I'd be interested in knowing, did they have on their code, like our asset classes and our strategic weight, just to compare that, to see whether or not they're more risk-oriented than we are. So get that information for the next.
I think I can. I will research that information and have it available for council or permanent fund board.
I think both of us.
Okay.
You can look at the last page, the last page of APCM's report for December, the very last page, that's for December. Municipal Survey of Permanent Funds in the North Slope Borough is the only one that listed they had private equity.
There was another municipality that Margarita found that had private equity. Maybe that just is referring to ones that APCM manages, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah. But we can get that clarification and provide that back to the council.
And just looking at the interim use of a substitute index, we might bring that to their attention, as long as the CFO thought that we could use it on an interim basis. It's 2.262. That they could, you know, change the policy a little bit.
What I remember about that was that we were using an index that was having, they could not get us accurate information, or it was having some issues and was going to go away. And so they had added that clause in there. They requested the city council to make that change so they would have the freedom to choose an index that made sense at that time. But we could clarify that with Brandy Nicolai with APCM to make sure that that's accurate information that I'm giving you.
Okay, Ms. Bell, do you have two thumbs up for a direction as well as Ms. Mungo?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do, Mayor, thank you.
Okay, great, good discussion, everybody. With that, we will conclude our special work session at 6:13.